Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
So we've been talking about the goodness of God, and that really comes from the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. Remember, the love of God is the agape love, and this agape love is what was in the garden with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, when they were brought into the world, God brought them into the agape love. When they sinned and disobeyed God, that love connection, the agape love was broken. And now there was this, all these emotions and all these other things got in. And now it's quit because of sin. So that's the whole idea, is God's trying to get us to understand that when we grow and mature in the love of God, we're developing the agape love. We're developing that love, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to use you and I now, in this time and hour that we live in, to express His love, this unconditional love, wherever we go. And that's His goodness being spread. See that? Unconditional love. And remember, there's storge, that's mother love for her children. There's brotherly love, that's filial love. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. There's eros love, that's the love between a husband and wife, sexual. Okay, that's eros. And then there's thermos, which is where we get the word thermos, which keeps things warm. It's compassion. But those four loves are based on emotions. Only agape love is unconditional. It's God's love. And that's the way God loves us, unconditionally. And that's what He's helping us to understand, that when we love people, He wants us to love them unconditionally. And when you do that, people take notice, because the world can't do that without a relationship with Jesus. You see that? So, think about this. In John 13:34, it says this. Jesus said this: "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's the secret. That you love one another, agape, as I have loved you. Now, look at that. When we understand how much God loves us, our value comes up. Our value, that's your esteem. So now, when you value yourself, you are able to love someone else because you value them. You can't value someone if you don't value yourself. You can't give His love if you don't get it yourself. The first step to loving people is not giving, it's receiving His love from Him, your relationship with Him. So when I'm in that relationship with Him, I'm a receptacle. I'm receiving the agape love. Now I can give it. And what happens is your value begins to come up. Now pay attention. All crime, all divorce, all addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, all addiction comes from low self-esteem, low value of yourself. When you understand how much God loves you, your value comes up. Now, you value yourself too much to put alcohol and drugs in your body because you value yourself too much. prophet Isaiah said, look to the rock from which you were hewn. Turn to your maker. When you are in connection with your maker, your value comes up. Your value comes up. Now you're starting to see who you really are, and you value who you are. You're not going to jump in bed with anybody that you're not married to. You're not going to put things in your body that causes you to be inebriated and not see clearly. Am I making sense? Because you value yourself too much. Now you can value people who don't value you. And you can express his unconditional love. You see that? Now you can love your enemies. You can't love your enemies if you don't value yourself. You see this? And that's what God wants. He wants you to love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. You can't do that without being in a relationship with God. So this is what we're trying to help us understand. That's God's goodness. That's God's goodness being spread. You don't love people because they're so lovable. People can be cranky. People can be stubborn. People can be mean. People can be critical, cynical. But when you are connected to Jesus, now listen to me. Remember we talked about last week? We talked about last week. Bless the Lord, Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Remember what the word benefit? Ben, B-E-N-E, good. The word fit means qualified. So you have to qualify for the good by not forgetting. Because if you forget, you're going to end up doing something that's not in alignment with your assignment. Am I making sense? So good benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Remember, we are the beneficiary of his benefits. God is the benefactor. He's working the good in the good factory. The word factor comes from the word factory. He's in the good factory working the good for you. And you're the beneficiary. You see that? You're the beneficiary. So look, when you can't love that person at work that's being ornery and being cantankerous and curmudgeon and mean-spirited, it's because you haven't been the beneficiary. You're not receiving. You're not receiving from God. You've disconnected with him and you're not receiving. But if you've been connected with him and it's flowing through you and out to others, you're the beneficiary. Now the benefits are in, you're qualified to treat that person in a way where they say, that person is a Christian. Are you listening to me? You're the beneficiary now. You see? Well, I don't know what's wrong with them. They just won't. You're not being the beneficiary. You're not receiving from him. Come on, do you understand this? When you understand this, God is working through you. Because that's what he wants. He wants his goodness to flow in and out. It can't flow in and out. It stops when you become critical and judgmental and cynical towards other people. God wants you to love others as he has loved you. So, give me, Mariette, Galatians 5. So now, think about it. Low self-esteem, you're not being the beneficiary. Your esteem comes up as you become the beneficiary of his love and his will and his ways. You value yourself. So now I will value other people. And I'm not going to participate in things that contaminate me. You see that? You don't want to. Because you don't want to mess up what you got going with him. Making sense? Let's look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, that's what we're talking about today. That's what we talked about last week. Goodness of God. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. God has created you for good works. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. for good works. See that? You know what? It says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus beforehand. Before. So in other words, God created you and knew you were coming and had everything planned out before you were even born. Did you get that? Before you were born. Remember Jeremiah 1:5? He knew you. He formed you. He knew you. He sanctified you. And he ordained you a prophet before you even showed up, before you were in your mother's womb. Now listen to that. All that happened, James, before you showed up on the planet. Now listen to me. James got me excited. He got all excited. Now listen. So God knew all that before you were even born. So if you were molested as a child, that didn't happen to you. That happened for you. Pay attention. If you were abused as a child, that didn't happen to you. That happened for you. If your husband left you, if your wife left you and divorced you, that didn't happen to you. That happened for you. You see, when you claim what happened to you, that's a victim mentality. Jesus died on the cross. Every abuse, every divorce, all that, he died and he paid the price for all of that. He carried all your sorrows. He bore all your griefs, all your iniquities, your transgressions. He was wounded for your transgressions, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Everything on that cross. That's why that cross is hanging on the wall. We're not victims. We are victors. Are you listening to me? What happened to you happened for you. When you understand that, you see, your value comes up. Your value comes up. Now I'm connected to the rock from which I was home. I'm connected to my source. Now, you see, because sin separated you. But when I'm born again, I'm born again spiritually. Now I'm connecting back to my source. And he's calling me with the good news, the gospel. He's calling me out to be who he created me to be, to show you the you you haven't met yet. And that's what his word does. It calls you out to be who he created you to be. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing with his people. And you're no longer the victim. You're no longer the victim. You're the victor. You are an overcomer, he says. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God is for you, who can be against you? So we don't want to go around talking about what happened to us, because that doesn't matter anymore. That cross took care of it. Now I have to live and be responsible for who I am. And I'm responsible how I respond. My response is my responsibility. And now I'm accountable for who I am. And now I'm becoming who God put me on this earth to be. Are you catching this? Because I'm receiving his love. I'm going to love people. Even, I don't care. It's not based on how they treat me. It's based on how he loves me. It's not based on what they say about me. It's based on what he says to me. See, I know who I am. I'm confident in who I am. I'm his child. Am I making sense? And I want to do his will. His will. You see, when you understand this, his will is priority in your life. You want that to be done. And that's what you're after. Am I making sense? I want God's will. And I want to be a beneficiary of his agape love. Amen. Now look, remember we said, forget not all of his benefits. Now pay attention. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget not all of his benefits. Paying attention? Now watch. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt represents bondage, represents the world. He brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Next one. Who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you in the end. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Are you catching this? God's goodness is good. Now look, did you hear what he was saying? Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget. Don't forget. I led you. You know, I looked as I was thinking about ministering this weekend and the word, I looked at my own life. I was looking back and looking how I've been here 23 years. I'm thinking, only God can do that. So I'm thinking, you know, and I'm more excited today than I was when I started. Here's what I'm trying to help you see. Think about this. I've been through a lot up here. You know, and he says there were snakes and scorpions in the wilderness. There's been a couple snakes up in here. And some scorpions. What does a snake do? A snake, Jesus called, he said, you brood of vipers. He was talking about the religious folks. What they were saying to people were contaminating their hearts. You see? When you stay in the goodness of God, remember? How do you stay in the goodness of God? Remember, there's only one way. You remain grateful. The word gratitude means to recognize the good. So when you're grateful, you recognize the good. When you're ungrateful, you've got your mind off of God. And now you're looking at all the problems and all the stuff going on. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Do you give thanks for the problem? No. You give thanks in the problem. Well, my house got blown away by a tornado. I'm going to give thanks to God. I stay focused on the one that can truly help me in what I'm going through. I stay focused on the one. See, that's what Thanksgiving does. It gets your focus back on what's important and your source for all that he has for you, the goodness of God. And that's what Thanksgiving does. It means in the Hebrew to recognize the good. So that's what we want to do. We want to recognize the good. So, like I said, I looked back over my life. There's been snakes. They poison you. It's not the bite that kills you, it's the poison that's released into you from a scorpion or a snake. I don't have any resentment. I've been bitten quite a few times. I have. I've been stung a lot of times. But now look, I don't have any resentment. I don't have any unforgiveness towards anybody. Am I making sense? Only God can do that. I've looked back over my life and how much he's taken care of me. I remember when I came here, I left a job making almost $60,000 a year. They didn't know if they could pay me $7,000 a year. There was only 12 people here. Are you with me? God has been good. God has been good. Are you with me? I got Donita. I got me a woman of God. Am I making sense? I thank God for her every day. I do. I thank God that she can't keep her hands off of me. Well, that might be a little exaggerated. I said that last night, and somebody told her. It went back and said, Fred said you can't keep your hands off. Oh, okay. So we got home, and she put her arms around me. She says, you're the best, you know. And she says, oh, wait a minute. She put her hands, arms back, and she says, what'd you say? Did you say I can't keep my hands off? I said, yeah, I did say that. She goes, it's true. I can't keep my. God is good. That's a reality. Folks, listen to me. When we understand and we stay in the goodness of God, he's working all things for the good, for your good. Are you with me? Let's look at this. Give me verse 17 and 18. Then you say in your heart, now he's talking to them because they were getting puffed up with their own deal. My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That's what happens when you forget. You start to think it's you. You see that? That's why you get these independent thinking people. Well, I'm a self-made man. Well, that's what they are. And they begin to worship what they just said, themselves. Self-made man. Or they think, well, I got my own business. They come to church and you can't tell them anything sometimes because they have that independent mentality. Well, you don't want to be tested or tried in anything. You want to go do it yourself. You'll get what you wanted. But you're not going to like what you got. Am I making sense? There's no such thing as a self-made. Who gave you the air to breathe? Who gave you the shoes on your feet? Who gave you the roof over your head? Who put the clothes on your back? Who got you to this point in life? God did. His goodness got you there. When we don't recognize it, you're full of yourself. Am I making sense? Now watch this. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. You see, we talked about a marriage is not a contractual agreement. It's a covenantal agreement. And that means it's based on God's covenantal love, agape love. In other words, I don't love my wife because she's nice to me and she wants to take care of me. I love her because I'm in a covenantal love with God. And I'm going to keep giving her unconditional love. And God is going to use our marriage as an expression to the world to show them Christ in the church. You see that? And when you get two people operating in the covenantal love, you've got paradise on earth. You see that? But you got one who doesn't want to operate. They only want to operate in the contractual love. They always got their mind on material things and this and that. And God can't use that, and he won't. And it brings strife and disagreement and discord. And it causes that marriage to not be an expression of Christ in the church. Are we making sense? God wants your marriage to express Christ in the church. And that's what happens when you're in the covenantal love. And guess what? You want to do his, you want to serve your wife. You want to help her. You want to do everything you can for her because God is in it. You see that? And you know, because you're going to God and you're talking to him and he's helping you. You see this? Someone said, well, boy, that's a lot. Being a pastor and trying to teach people trying to lead people. I said, yeah. They said, I wouldn't want anything to do with that. They tell me that. I said, yeah. I said, God changed me, but he also changed. He says, you can't do anything. People say, you can't do anything. Oh, you can't go here. You can't do this. You can't do that. I said, listen, God changed my want to. You see that? He'll change your want to. And you'll want to serve. You'll want to be there for people. You'll want to help people because of your heart. It's written on your heart. It's in that covenant. It's a covenant. It's a heart covenant. It's in you. But when you always got to demand your way, and this is what they do to me, and they do this, and they do that, that's contractual. Well, they won't do this and they won't do that. That's it. That's contract. Get in the covenantal. You only do that by receiving and becoming the beneficiary of this love we're talking about, the agape love. Now, go with me to Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to give you a little backstory. Nebuchadnezzar was the king. And in Daniel chapter 3, you find the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was the wealthiest man on the planet at that time. He was extremely wealthy. He had everything. And so the people were always gloating over him and gushing over him. And so they decided, we'll make a statue of him. They made a statue out of Nebuchadnezzar out of gold. And they all began to bow down and worship this statue of Nebuchadnezzar. So here comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a whole nother region. And you're gonna be a part of what we're doing here. You're going to have to, I'm paraphrasing, you're going to have to bow down and worship this idol, this statue of me. And they said, look, nope, we're not gonna worship that, because we worship our God. And he says to them, he says, in other words, the God that we worship, Jesus, amen? So they said, we're not going to worship your God, you. They said, well, I'm going to throw you in the fire. I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. He cranked that thing up 7 times hotter than it had ever been cranked up. He had his men throw them in the fire. He threw them in the fire. Even the men, you read the story, some of the men that threw him in the fire died from the heat coming out of the fire furnace. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was standing back, and he looks into that furnace. There's 4 people in that fire. We only threw 3. He says, that 4th one looks like the Son of God. That was Jesus. That's called a Christophany. That means Jesus showed up unannounced. Listen to me. There'll be times in your life that you'll be in a difficult place. Jesus will show up unannounced. They came out of that furnace untouched. Not a hair on their head was singed. Nothing burned. Didn't even smell like smoke. Just like nothing. No smell. Came out. King Nebuchadnezzar says, we're going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The mighty God. Now look, sometimes there's people you think you can't reach. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had something King Nebuchadnezzar didn't have. Get a hold of this. They had something money couldn't buy. Did you get that? That is the moral of that story. It's not about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's about that when you know your God, you have something that money can't buy. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, we're going to worship their God, and all of this region is going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the backstory. Now let's look at this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, this is what he says. To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.